Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to CPA Review and More, where we talk about CPA review subjects. You know, people always say, Phil, what's going to be on the next exam? And, you know, I can read tea leaves, too. All right. I don't know what's going to be on the next exam. All right. But a lot of times we say, let's have something more than CPA review. And I think that's what we have today. All right. I have a nice gentleman. All right. I only know him about 2 minutes, but I can tell. I can tell. You know, I have this something which hits me about people that I can tell they're nice people. Are you a nice person?
I'm a nice person, yeah.
All right, nice person. All right. And do you go by Josh or Joshua?
Josh is fine.
We have Josh Lance, who is a CPA and a CGMA. Did you take that exam? Grandfather.
I was grandfathered in on that one. Yeah.
Like the rest of us. Yeah, that was a pretty easy exam, I remember.
Yeah.
Or the payment of a check or a credit card.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, that has opened up my life tremendously. CGMA. All right. Now, your entrepreneurial, I'm just reading from your LinkedIn thing. Yeah. Entrepreneurial CPA partnering. All right. And this is what I thought was interesting. Yeah. Why did you go with craft? This man audits craft breweries. Is that correct?
Yeah, we do the accounting and tax work for craft breweries. Yeah.
And is that most of your practice?
That is most of our practice. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Wait, what is a craft brewery? I don't drink because I'm Mormon. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not Mormon. Now, what is a craft brewery?
Yeah, so it's a smaller brewery that's independently owned. You know, they can be anywhere from a really tiny place that's in a small town to a larger brewery that may distribute across the country. But generally, they're independently owned, which makes them a craft brewery.
So how did you learn the accounting for breweries?
Yeah, so I had, before I started my practice, I had a friend who was looking to start a craft brewery and kind of asked me to kind of partner along with them to help him with his finances and kind of figure out all the regulatory compliance when it comes to craft breweries. So I kind of dug in, did my research, talked to other breweries, kind of saw what was needed and what was required. And so when I started my practice, I knew I had this knowledge set of, you know, hey, I can come into these craft breweries, I can help them out. You know, there's a lot of regulatory compliance that they have to deal with, a lot of tax filings they do throughout the year. And so I was able to say, hey, I can help you out with all this stuff, take care of it for you. So you're not worried about that sort of thing in your brewery. You can just worry on making beer and selling it and doing that, those sort of things you love. And so that's turned out to be pretty, work out pretty well for us.
And do you like beer?
I do. Yeah.
No. Okay. What's your favorite beer?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say right now, I think...
Let's give him a plug. Who's your favorite beer company?
It's going to be one of my clients, yeah. So I think my favorite beer is Alarmist Bruins Dark Mild.
Never heard of them.
It's a small brewery in Chicago, but they do a lot of nice English beers, and so I like that one a lot.
Now, do you deal with breweries all over the country or just...
We do, yeah. So yeah, we work with breweries from coast to coast, based in Chicago, and we have a good number of breweries in the Midwest. We work with breweries in, you know, the DC metro area, in California, Colorado, Florida, so all over the place.
How did you start out getting breweries as clients?
Yeah, so I think what we did and what I did to kind of get into that niche was really just be a part of the industry groups that breweries were a part of, right? So joining their professional associations, going to their meetings and conferences and things like that, and just getting to meet them in that fashion, learn from them, gain that knowledge I needed to gain. And I think by kind of putting that effort and kind of saying like, hey, I'm interested in this, I'm going to be a partner with you in this and show up at the things you're at and that sort of surfing. That really helped out. We also did a lot of content marketing. Content marketing. So like blog posts and social media and things like that targeted the craft breweries and writing about things craft breweries were dealing with. And that helped a lot too of getting that kind of focus and attention from them to the Bryn Mawr as a client.
Do you deal with any, I'm just curious, beer is an alcoholic beverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What about people who are alcoholics? Do you deal with that in any way to encourage these people? Yes, there's nothing wrong with partaking, but, you know, getting really completely intoxicated is not what we push.
Yeah.
Does that ever come up at all?
It does, yeah. And we've been, pretty well focused, you know, with the breweries we work with, you know, they're focused in, you know, making sure that that's not something they're promoting. But then we also partner with mental health organizations and things like that to help along with that. So I think especially in the craft beer world, there's a lot of people who enjoy it, but are not enjoy it for the sake of getting drunk or becoming alcoholics. They enjoy it for, you know, the skill and the craftsmanship that goes into it. And so I think that's what we enjoy about it too.
You know, I don't drink beer or actually liquor or any of that stuff. And as I said that, I just can't see, you know, we have here in Maryland, we are, you know, we're known for our blue shell crabs, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
All right. And my daughter and my son-in-law, they love to drink beer and eat crabs. And I taste that beer. I taste beer yesterday. I don't know what it was. You know what it was? It had a bunch of, did it have convicts on? They dealt with some type of company where there's convicts or something on there.
Yeah.
Right? You know which one? And you get an app and they tell you a story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's beer, though. But I tasted the beer and I swear I have never tasted, to me, beer tastes the same. I don't know. Do people just have to have a taste for beer, or do some people just will never get used to beer?
I think it just kind of depends on what you like. You know, in the beer world, there's such a variety of different flavors of beer and things like that, from things that are very, you know, chocolatey and malty to things that are very light, to things that are very fruity. So just kind of figuring out what you like.
Have a fruity beer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can have beer that tastes like drinking orange juice. So it's there's a lot of, you know, pretty wild and crazy things I can do with the flavor profiles of beer. And make it what people like. So
that's it. How many other people do you know who do what you do? I mean, they pick the niche, which is very important.
Yeah,
realize that you pick the niche of craft breweries, and you went after them.
Yeah,
and that's your practice. And I guess the question is, how many other CPAs do this type of accounting? Is this very unique? I mean, are there a lot of people in this industry going after these type of clients?
There isn't. There's probably, you know, I know maybe of five or six other CPAs that focus in on this, right? So there's not a lot. And the reality is there's so many breweries out there. There's 9,000 breweries out there, right? So even if, you know, we all kind of split it amongst ourselves, that's way too many more clients than we can service. So, you know, there's definitely, when you pick that niche market, you know, find something that it's, you know, one that's unique that you can serve well, but also there's not a lot of other people doing it. It's helpful. Because it really allows you to stand out from competitors or generalists that are just like, hey, we do accounting and taxes for everybody. You know, we can say, hey, we focus on this one industry and have a deep knowledge and expertise into that industry that can benefit those clients.
Do you really like that type of, you like those type of practices with craft breweries? Had you thought about another type of niche to get into?
Oh, we have. I think we like the idea of the craft breweries because they're very unique. They're a food production manufacturing facility with usually a retail component and then some sort of supply chain distribution component. So there's a lot of unique business types, which makes them kind of unique as you kind of meld all those together. But we also, you know, we also have a niche in digital agencies. So working with like ad companies and digital marketers. And
yeah, what do you do? This digital consulting.
Yeah.
What exactly do you do from a digital consulting standpoint?
Yeah, so we work with like companies that do ad, you know, they're ad companies or they do website development or things like that. And we do the accounting tax for them. So just another niche that we work in, similar to the breweries, where we do those types of services that focus in on that one industry. Those, you know, kind of digital consulting agencies, we kind of brought on a couple years into the firm. And just because we started, as we market ourselves and we're doing all this digital marketing and things like that for our own company, we were getting these digital marketing companies getting attracted to us and saying like, hey, you get our industry. Like you're doing the things that we recommend our clients to do. So we want to work with you to do our taxes and accounting. So it's again, kind of figuring out those industries that you can work well in and start to understand and then just diving really deep into it. And that really helps when you start to niche into these different industries.
What made you want to go into accounting? I know you graduated Miami University. And by the way, a lot of people think that's in Coral Gables. That's in Ohio, right?
That's in Oxford, Ohio, yes. Yeah.
And by the way, there's a thing right behind him.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you know you wanted to be an accountant?
I kind of did, yeah. So in high school, my high school offered accounting classes. And so I took them because I thought I was interested and I liked math and I liked business. And so I was like, okay, I'll take these classes. And I really grew to like accounting. And so when I went to college, it's like, all right, I'm going to major in accounting. I think this is kind of interesting. And I stuck with it. So yeah, I kind of knew going in that I wanted to be on the kind of financial side of business. So either finance or accounting and just really grew to love accounting as I took my courses in college and went to proceed in that career.
Did you like public accounting?
Yes and no. public accounting, I think, was great. And I was at a public accounting firm for 7 years before going to the corporate side and then going to my own firm. I think public accounting is great because you get so much experience. There's a lot of things thrown at you. It's a great place to learn, learn the trade, learn the skills to become a better accountant. So there's a lot of things there I loved about it just from the educational perspective. You know, it's got its downfalls, right? Like any other industry where it's, you know, dealing with timesheets or a lot of travel. Like for me, I was traveling as an auditor, 70% of the time. And so
a lot of traveling now?
I don't do any travel now at all, so which is nice. And that was kind of what I designed my firm to. But when I was in Paul County, you do a lot of traveling because you're going out to visit clients and do the audits and all that stuff. And that, for me, started to wear on me after a while. And it's like, all right, I can't do that anymore. But I would say I'm, eternally grateful for going into public accounting after school, just for the knowledge I gained during that time period. It was immense.
I worked for Seidman. It was Seidman and Seidman back then because you had to get a year of accounting, auditing, whatever experience.
Yeah.
You get the CPA.
Yeah.
And actually, I did not like auditing. I just, I liked one of the areas of accounting and I didn't have a choice because Seidman would not allow non-attorney CPAs do tax returns. Okay.
Yeah.
So they put me in the audit department.
Yeah.
And it was all debits and credits. And God, that to me was never exciting.
Yeah.
It was like bookkeeping.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they were located on Wall Street in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They had a lot of banks for clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to the vaults of these banks.
Yeah.
Counting securities. That was so stimulating, okay? That made me realize, no way did I want to stay in public accounting.
Mm-hmm.
But, unfortunately now, to get the license, I don't know what it's like in Illinois, but I have to have 1 year of experience?
That's right, yeah.
Right? Do you feel that you really need that 1 year of experience?
I don't know if you need it in a public accounting firm, right? Getting any experience in the accounting profession, I think, is useful and beneficial to get you there. Especially depending on what firm you work at. You may work at a really large firm, and the experience in that first year is very minimal, and it's very kind of data entry. But I think and your feet wet in any type of accounting is helpful because that can really kind of guide you as to what you want to do for your career, but also help you in completing the CPA as well.
Some of the states have, 1 year working in public accounting,
mm-hmm.
or you can work in a company as long as you work under a CPA, and they can sign off that they know about your work.
Yeah.
So, and of course, were you required to take the exam with 150 hours or you didn't?
That's right. I had to do 150 hours. That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
I'm just curious, what did you take for those extra credits?
I took political science.
A lot of accounting. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So when I graduated, I had 120 hours from graduation and I just did 4 years. I didn't do the master's. And so I took community college classes in history and political science and just a variety of random intro classes just to get the hours. So I already had all my accounting hours. I already had checked the box on that. I just need to get to that 150. So I took a lot of non-accounting classes.
Did you ever say to yourself, there's extra credits?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Hey, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in accounting.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, because we covered every accounting course there was.
Right. Yeah.
All right. But I spoke to people in Miami, University of Miami, you know, in Coral Gables, and they're telling me that they took courses in swimming and which actually makes you a better accountant. What do you think?
So I think the hour requirement, it doesn't help per se, right? Like if you're just filling hours, you're just filling hours, and it's not going to make you a better accountant there. But yeah, so that's why I took a lot of non-accounting courses to get to that 150 hours.
Now, as I look at this, do you have a speakeasy at home? You make wine at home?
I do make wine at home.
Is that legal to make wine at home?
It is. It is legal. Yeah. At least in the state of Illinois, it's very legal. Yeah. So,
And what kind of wine do you make at home?
I tend towards reds like Shiraz and Malbecs and Cabernets and things like that. Yeah.
How do they compare to your clients?
it's okay. I'm not an expert winemaker.
Join as another product, editor of the product.
Right. No, I my winemaking skills are not up to par to be commercially successful. That's for sure.
And you like to cook? What do you cook?
I cook a lot of everything. I don't have a specific thing. What I like to do is just find a recipe and just like start from scratch and like, let's do the recipe and see how it turns out. So I like the kind of just the art of it, okay, let's craft something new that I've never done before and see how it tastes and see how it works.
Are you the one who cooks at home or is your wife?
I do. I primarily cook, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But what's your favorite? Tell me, what's your favorite item to cook? Make me salivate. What is your favorite?
Yeah, my favorite is when I grill salmon. So doing some salmon on the grill with like a nice little marinade and a nice little sauce with it is probably my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. We'll probably be seeing you on the Food Channel real soon. Huh?
Exactly. Yeah, that'll be my new career.
And you do a lot of traveling?
Yeah, for fun. Yeah. I think, after doing all the travel and public accounting, which was all work related, right? Like it kind of burnt me on that, but it got me the eyes when you go to new places and learn about, that new location, the culture around there. Like, I do enjoy doing that.
So you could do a lot of foreign countries?
Some of that. I also just love going to, a place I've never gone to in the United States, right? So, like, recently I was just in Phoenix, Arizona. Never been to Phoenix, never been to Arizona, but it was cool to see the, American Southwest and what that
was. What month was that?
That was 2 weeks ago, so it was this
It was a little warm, huh?
It was a little warm, yeah.
Toasty.
It was a little toasty, yeah, yeah.
Now, you were selected to the 2017 class of the SCPA Leadership Academy. Now, is that academy similar to like West Point and Annapolis?
it's not that rigorous. No, I really enjoy that in the fact that because you brought together other leaders in the accounting profession. And to learn from each other, right? And so there's some great people in my class who have gone on and done some really awesome things. And it's cool getting to kind of connect with all of them and just learn from people with different experiences and different backgrounds and things like that.
Has Jody Paydar done any speaking?
With the Leadership Academy? Not the time I went, no.
Because she's a CPA in Chicago.
She is, yeah, yeah.
And she's into artificial intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And actually, I've met her a few times. Really a super person.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
And also, you are a member of that 40 under 40.
Yeah.
So let me guess this. Are you under 40?
I am under 40, yeah. That's right. That's right.
How do you get into that 40 under 40? I've never been invited to anything, okay? All right? Now, I'm past 40.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
My age is infinity. But, I have never been invited. How did you get into that?
Yeah, I think when I was first invited into it, that was a little after I started my firm. And the firm that I have is really kind of entrepreneurial in nature. We're fully virtual and been since day one. We don't have a physical office. And so what I was doing was kind of unique in that got me in the door there. And I've been part of it, for the last 4 years. So, it's an interesting group to be a part of. Again, it's a lot of, great leaders in different areas of the profession that I've learned tremendously from.
What do you give back to the profession?
Yeah, so I'm involved with the Illinois CPA Society. I've been involved in different committees there. I'm currently on their board of directors and really try to influence things as far as, you know, younger people looking for a, you know, different alternative besides going with, you know, big four public accounting or going, you know, into kind of private or corporate accounting, right? Of, you know, kind of putting that third entrepreneurial type wheel into that of, you know, starting your own firm or starting something in the accounting industry. And also, you know, how you use technology in accounting as well. You know, because our firm is fully remote and fully virtual, we use a lot of technology to drive that. So a lot of what I try to influence in the Illinois CPA Society in my position there is to, you know, kind of say, okay, how can we use technology better to serve our clients and to, whether that's audit, whether that's tax, whether that is general accounting, whether that's advising, whatever that may be, how do we use technology better to serve our clients and be better accountants because of that? So, you know, that's something I'm particularly passionate about. I also serve on the AICPA and their executive committee on private company for small firms. And so, again, using that kind of what I've experienced and building my firm over the last 6 years and how that's kind of changed how we do business and hopefully can help other accounting firms as well.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.